So we are on the top of Yud Aleph from Aleph. The Gemara says three lines down, the last word, Rav Shara L'chir Bar Ashi, Rav permitted L'chir Bar Ashi L'migdal O'hari B'chol Damoy. He permitted them to raise, what is this referring to? Fish traps on Chol Damoy. Okay? So, Rashi explains, Ohari, the top line, Shetzadin bo dagim shekorin rusha. They permitted them to trap on Shabbos, on Chol Moed rather. Then the Gemara says, my time, what was the reasoning? Maisa hediot, we've been talking about that something's a maisa hediot, if it's an unskilled act, one's permitted to do this. Aval isli aser. Isli must be some type of form. Rashi writes, two lines from the top, isli is rishtos shetzadin bo ofis. I guess as some type of trap for the birds, and Gemara explains my time of maisa umanu. That's considered a skilled type of hunting. What exactly is a rishta? It says so bird nets. Just bird nets. I'm saying why is that considered a skill?
Because it's harder to catch birds than fish.
Yeah. The catching is harder, not the actual net.
You need to be more sophisticated to create the net.
I see. Okay. Okay, so making the bird net is more sophisticated than the fish net, I guess?
Right,
okay.
Makes sense.
I can understand why catching the bird is harder than catching a fish, but the actual net...
So it's all connected. It's all one union.
Probably
you need to make it harder, the net.
They're made from Arava, from leaves of Arava.
Which is a
with strings and when you knit
them
together, weave them together, it's a masay uman.
Okay. Fine. And then the Gemara says that Rav Yehuda shara le'ami tanura le'migdal tanure. So Rav Yehuda permitted Ami the oven maker to build new ovens in Chol Hamoed. Rabba bar Ashbi, Migdal Meholasa, permitted him to make sieves, which is used to sift things. So Gemara says, "Aini, is that really true? He permitted them to make these types of things, an oven and a sieve." Hatani Rabbi Bar Shmuel, Shavin Shein Golden Tanur L'Chachila. The Brisa tells us that one's not allowed to make an oven on Chol Hamoed. So how could Yehuda go against this Brisa? Gemara says, "Lo Kasha Kami Mosachama." It depends what time of year it is. So if you look at Rashi, this is Rashi, two lines from the top, all the way to the end of the line. He says, "Biyomosachama, kolomar, kishiyeshi mosachama." When it's the summer, could go in bePesach. So remember, Pesach is Yomosachama, Sukkos would be Yomosachshamim. So if it was Chol Moed Pesach, the Chavul Ama Shein Yordim Yomosachshamim, that rain has stopped at least in Eretz Yisrael. Mutilas hospataner fishel alter yavish, because when you make it, they used to fashion it out of dirt or mud or some type of brick that would dry right away. V'yicholun la'afos bo pas beregel l'tzach haregel, and by you making Chol Hamoed, it would be all prepared to be used for the second days of Chol Hamoed, second days of Pesach. However, Rashi says b'yumos hagshamim klomer kishiyardin hagshamim beregel in Sukkot. Sometimes it does rain. Kigom Sukkot. Ain osin tanor lefish ain yavish la'alter. You can't make it because it's not going to dry right away, this oven that you made. And ad la'acharegel might take until after Yontif is over before it dries. V'avetir chashol tzaracharegel. And what turns out is you fashion this type of oven which is not usable for Yontif, and therefore that would be aser. So that's the difference of the Braisa versus Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda permitted it to be made on Chol Moed Pesach because it's going to be ready right away, as opposed to the Braisa was referring to Sukkos, which it will not necessarily be made right away. Okay. Now the new Mishnah tells us that Osin Maket Legag, person is able to make a fence around his roof, Ulmar Peset Maisa Hedion, and also he could build a banister around a little porch or terrace, as long as it's a Maisa Hedion, some unskilled type of act, Avolo Maisa Uman, but he cannot do a professional, skilled type of fence. So the Rishonim argue, what type of maka are we referring to? We're talking about a maka shel mitzvah or a maka shel rishus. What's a maka shel mitzvah? So if a person has a little porch that's 10 tfachim high, has the right measurements, that's a 4x4 tfachim, and almost 10 tfachim high, I think those are the measurements, whereby it's dangerous, some might fall off the roof, some might fall off the porch, so therefore there's a maka shel mitzvah. You have to build a maka shel mitzvah. So the Ritva writes, we're not talking about a maka shel mitzvah. If there's a requirement to build a fence because of danger, then you for sure have to build a ma'isa uman. You'll have to build a skilled, a protected fence. The Mishnah is talking about a case where there's no obligation midraisa to build a fence, but a person wants to build anyways, so in that case you could build a temporary fence. Other Yishonim like the Miri say, no. This mission is actually talking about a makkah shel mitzvah, where there's an obligation on the guy's rooftop. It's a flat rooftop. It's accessible. It's usable. And you have to midrash to build a fence. Even though it's a mitzvah, you can only build a temporary ma'aseh hedyot on Chol HaMoed, and afterwards you could rebuild it in a ma'aseh umman type of way. Then the mission says, shafin es hasadakim, you could smear, Rashi says, shafin es hasadakim, referring to the tanur. There might be some cracks in the tanur. You could fill it in. What do they say shafin literally means here? You could smear plaster over the cracks of the oven to maintain the heat so it doesn't crack and, you know, it cooks properly. Umagilin osan bimagela biyad v'regel. And you could also, Rashi talks about, look at Rashi, magilin osan bimagela. Shigolin lo al karkayos hatanur. You could roll on the bottom of the oven floor. Eight gadol, a large wood, piece of wood, a log of some sort. Agul kidei listom sadakim. You could take a rolling pin or something and roll on the bottom of the oven to make sure it's, I guess, flat or there's no cracks there either. And that can be used with a yad or regel. Rashi explains further. Biyad of regel shalokech biyado eitz. You take in your hand a piece of wood. Ubatin biyad al tanur. The stoma sadakim, I guess you hit it and smear the cracks in the bottom of the oven. Oh, boit biraglo al kakao satana, or you step on it. So you do some type of, this is not the typical way of fixing an oven with a hand and a piece of wood. About lo b'machal tzalim, but you cannot use a professional tool, Rashi writes. B'machal tzalim is eitz kein regel. It actually is a wood that's fashioned like a leg. It looks like an L, is my guess. And, Shadochu b'mazeva l'stoma sadakim, you press it along the cracks of Yeshba Maisa Uman Yosem Magela. So using a flat piece of wood, you use your hand to, I don't know exactly the image here, as opposed to the tool itself is in such a way you don't need to use your hands or legs. Let's see what they say, what these things refer to. You could flatten with a roller, that's permitted, by hand or by foot, but not with a machatzayim. Okay, not too much there in the English here. Okay, one's a professional tool, one's not. You could only use the unskilled tool. Then the Mishnah says, Hatsir, so Tsir Rashi tells us, is the regel hadelas, kimo delas tasav al tzedas. The way I'm understanding it is that, our hinges are on the sides of the door. They used to have it on the ground and the ceiling, going upwards, kind of revolve around that little pole is how I imagine it. Some doors like that. That's not.
Goes on the floor and
the kitchen.
Exactly.
Yeah, that go both sides.
Exactly right. So those doors do exist, right? That goes both sides. So the tzir, which is what goes in the ground or above the ground, and the tzinor, which, they say the tzinor, Rashi says, is hachor, the hole that it goes into in both the ground and the ceiling. Vakora, which is the beam above, which we call the, let's get this, this is the lintel, right? And the minol is the lock. Hamefteach is the key. All these things, excuse me, any of these parts of the door, shenishbru, that break, misakim b'moed, you're allowed to fix it on Chol HaMoed. Now, there's no distinction right now whether there's a difference between a front door versus a other door in the house. It sounds like any door could be fixed. Umbavad, shalois kabin lasos milacha m'chol HaMoed. As long as you don't intend on delaying the work until Chol HaMoed. It broke a few weeks ago, you know what? Much easier if I wait until Sukkot, I have a lot more time to fix it during Sukkot. Now, if it happens to break on Sukkot, then you could fix it on Sukkot Chol HaMoed. But to delay it and push it off until then, that would be aser. V'chol kvashim shuyachol l'ochem mehen b'moed kovshim. Any type of pickling, you could take a vegetable and pickle it on Chol HaMoed as long as it will be ready to be eaten at some point later on in the Chol HaMoed series. So let's say day one of Pesach, I want to pickle my cucumber. If it will be ready, at least by the last day of Chol HaMoed, if not earlier, I'm allowed to pickle it. If it won't be ready until after all Pesach is over, then it will be forbidden to be done. Okay. And the reason for this is because it will be unnecessary tircha. The Gemara says, Heichi dami maise hedyot. The Mishnah told us that one's allowed to build an unskilled fence. Well, what's an example of an unskilled fence? We already saw this earlier in the Masechta. Rav Yosef Amar, Behut v'dafna. Behut v'dafna was branches and leaves, some type of makeshift fence. And b'masnisetana, the Braisa taught us that tsar b'tsarur, you pile rocks, stones, or bricks on top of each other. Veno tach b'tit, but you do not cement them together, so you can just knock them over. But, so those are two examples of a fence. Now, what gets me to think that this seems to be awry, we said in the before, at the point, what type of fence were we referring to in the Mishnah? Was it a fence that's obligated in the Torah because it's going to protect someone from falling? Or was it not? It was just a person wanted a fence for tznius. So this sounds like it has to be for tznius, because if it was later, without cemented, that person...
It's more dangerous.
Exactly. more dangerous, because you're going to think it's a real wall there and then fall right off. So the Gemara says, "Shafin es hasadakim umagilin osom b'magila." So you're allowed to smear the some type of cement to fill in the cracks of the oven. Hashu b'magila amr shari. If we said you're allowed to use a piece of wood, then certainly b'yad v'regel mibayit. Do you have to tell me you could use your hand or a leg to smear the plaster to fill in the cracks? The Gemara says, "No hachi kamar." The Mishnah is meant to be read as follows: Shafin es hasadakim, you could smear the cracks. Ooh, and secondly, magilin osan, and roll over the cracks. Kain magela, like a roller does, biad v'regel. So you can't use an actual roller, but you could use your hand, which will serve the same purpose as a roller, but it has to be done in a shinoi type of way. Avalob mechatzalim, but you certainly can't use the professional tool that was normally used to roll over the cracks of the on the ground, the floor of the oven. Then the Mishnah told us, hatzir v'atzino, I know these are very technical gemaras, but this we have to do sometimes. Hatzir v'atzino, hakoro, hamino, hamafteach, hanishbu, mitachin, moid. Any of these parts of the door that break, one may fix on chol hamoed. Where minhi, the Gemara asks, ad yomav hayapatish makabi shlayim. So what's this referring to? So we need to look at Rashi.
So yes. The chag refers us to yom tov, and chol hamoed refers us to moed.
When you see the word chag, by the
no,
way?
No, it's just, you know.
Oh, in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, in general, chag, generally, when you see the word
first
chag.
First day is Yom Tov.
Exactly. Usually chag, stam chag is Sukkos. And moed is referring to chol hamoed, usually. There is the Mishnah in Avos that says, kol mevaze es hamoadim kilo over the avodah zarah, appears in the Gemara in Pesachim as well. So the machlokas, what that moed means. Some say it means chol hamoed, others say no, that actually refers to real yontif. So usually it means chol hamoed, but there are instances. It's referred to Yantif as well. So Gemara said, so again, the Mishnah told us that you could fix any of these parts of the door. Gemara asks a question, Urminhi ad yomav hayapatish makabi shlaim. Up until his days, you were able to hear a hammer blow on in Yushlaim. What is this referring to? This is a Gemara that appears in Sota, the end of Sota. The Rashi is going to explain what this means. Rashi, it's around 15 narrow lines up. Ad yomav. Exactly. So Yochanan Kohen Gadol hayapatish makah, and until the days of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, there was a hammer makah b'Yushalayim b'chol shemoid on chol hamoed itself. Who Gazar love? He was go there. Who butlo? He no longer is a person allowed to do any type of work on chol hamoed. Alma aser. So it's aser to do work on chol hamoed. You cannot fix your door and get there and start hammering in the tzir and the tzinor. That's all aser. So umas nisin Rashi continues katani umasakin menil mafteach. You're allowed to fix the key and the lock. And the Gemara is Medaik, ad yamav, in Mikan ve'elech lo. Only up until the days of Yochanan Kohen Gadol was it permitted. But after his period, time period, when he was gozer, it was aser. How then did our Mishnah permit it? The Gemara says, lo kasha kam b'denafki kam b'denagri, with two different types of professions. What are two types of professions? A nafki is a blacksmith, and a nagri is a carpenter. One deals with the key and the keyhole and the metal, one deals with the wood. So what's the difference?
That's called nagar.
Nagar is a...
carpentry.
Yeah.
Is a carpenter.
Carpenter, yeah. So you look at Rashi. Rashi writes, what's the difference? Benafchi is the patish hainu cornice. Cornice is what would you call that? An anvil or something?
The
patish. Okay. Aser, the havi kala rabba, v'olid kala aser. It's very loud noise. It's distracting. It takes away from your chalamoid. And that's what nafchi is. And magli, we're not into magli yet, right? And Nigri, I guess, the carpenter doesn't make it, they didn't have like electric saws. I remember in camp, you used to go down to the wood shop and hear the electric saws. They didn't have those, so all you hear like a little like sawing at most. Not much of a noise. So that's what they initially said, that our Mishnah says it's permitted when it comes to fixing the wood, but the blacksmith, the metal, would be usher, according to the Gemara and Sota, because that makes more of a noise. Gemara says, Maskevla Rav Chista. Rav Chista challenges this distinction. Rav Chista says, Yomu kalaraba aser kalazutri is shari. So I guess he's not so comfortable with how does one distinguish between a loud and a soft sound. You know, it gets very confusing. Oh, this sound is soft, it's okay. So those type of distinctions are so, I guess, arbitrary, it's hard to come by. So then the Gemara says, Ela, tell you the difference between the Mishnah here and the Mishnah in Sota. Amar Rav Chista, this is the answer. Lokasha kam b'magle kan v'chatzini. So the difference here is how large the tools are. So I guess this is a little bit more able to distinguish between something more substantial, the size of it. So the large saws versus the small axes. So that's what Rashi says here. Magli is Maser Hagadol Shari, a large axe, Dilo moli kala klum. A large axe doesn't make so much noise. But bechatsini is brara, I don't know French, asr dahavi oli kala tve. I do know English though. So the English says here, so I guess the first case was axes, large saws rather, do not make large noises. But chatsini, which your axes do, so you're busy banging a tree, that's going to make a big noise. But a saw, at least not an electric saw, that won't make too much noise. Now, according to this distinction, using an electric saw nowadays would probably be forbidden. Someone wants to cut down his tree on Chol Moed would be a problem. If one wants to use an axe, a manual axe, I guess, back and forth shaving it down, that might be permitted. Rapapa gives another distinction. Rapapa says, no, it's very simple. Kan kodem gzera, kan lach gzera. Our mission was written before Yochanan Kohen Gadol made his gzera. Before his gzera, you were allowed to, you know, use a hammer and axe and all these types of things. And the mission Tzolta was talking about after he made his gzera. Rav Ashi Amar Harav Yehuda Harav Yosi. It's a machlokes tanoim. Damar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi Aman Tana Shina B'Moed B'Davar Avid. Who is the one that requires you to make a shina in Chol Moed when it comes to something that the person's going to lose? And we said already a number of times, the davar ha'avid, if you're going to have a loss of money, you're allowed to do it in Chol Moed. Do you have to do a shinoi? So there is an opinion that requires a shinoi, but who's the one who requires it? It's not like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi does not require one to do a shinoi. So how does that relate to our Mishnah now? So look at Rashi, the last few lines of Rashi. He says, Ha Rabbi Yehuda Ha Rabbi Yossi. But Pirka de la Kaman, later on we're going to see the next parak. The Rabbi Yosi lo bay lishnuy le davar avid. You don't have to do a shina when it comes to the davar avid. Umasnis in our Mishnah here, the Shari Hacha Kohani below Shina Rabbi Yosi. Our Mishnah, which permits all these different things without any shinu, never mentions the shinu. That's all according to Rabbi Yosi. So Rabbi Yosi authored our Mishnah. So he all the ones allowed to do work on Chol Moed. You can build a you could fix a door. As long as it's davar avid. Exactly. Not having a door, I guess, would be considered davar avid. And I guess talking about the front door, where a ganavim can access your house, that's a potential davar avid.
According to Rabbi Yehuda, davar avid, you're only allowed with a shina. According to Rabbi Yossi, davar avid, you need it even without a shina.
Exactly. Okay, so let's just review this a second. We saw a number of answers. Mishnah in Sota said one cannot work, and Mishnah in Moed Katan, one can work. We either said a distinction of sound, distinction of size of instrument, which will create sound, maybe a distinction of when the gzera, one was before the gzera, one was after the gzera, or maybe it's machlokas tanaim, whether this is permitted or not permitted. Okay, now the Ramban said, Ramban writes, we see from here, the Gemara above, the Mishnah Sota, that when it comes to Davar Ha'avid, you don't need to do a, you could do it, but Kedarko, you don't need to do a Shinoi, and you also don't need to do it, but Sina. One might think, if I have a davar avid, I should really do it quietly, my privacy, my own home. He says, the fact that Mishnah Sota says that you're able to hear the hammer blows throughout all of Yerushalayim sounds like Tzina was not one of the factors. Again, there is a machlokas whether Shinoi or not Shinoi, as we just saw in the Gemara, but Tzina before Hesia? Some say, if you have to do it on Chol Moed, do it, but Tzina. Don't make a public thing that you have to you make some money. You're going to work. Don't make a big thing. Okay, I'm going to work now, guys. After Shua, I have to go to work and make some money now. That shouldn't be said, according to some. Ramban says, no. When it comes to the davar avid, there's no need to hide anything, because the Mishnah Torah says he was able to hear the patish on Chol Moed was heard, so clearly before Hesia was permitted when it came to the davar avid. Okay, the Gemara says now, right before the two dots, Amar Ravina, Ravina says, Kiman Madlinan Ha'inan Kavyusha Didashi B'Chol Moed. Who is the one that nowadays, what's Madlinan mean? You pick it up, look at the first wide line in Rashi. Kiman Madlinan Ha'ina Kavyusa Didashim. Kishiyotin Masmerin Shalaitz Minakora. When you remove the wood pegs or nails from the beam, Shal Pesach, from the entranceway, Deshari the Meved below Shino. You'll have to remove them without any Shunai. Why is one removing the wood pegs?
Dangerous.
Dangerous?
Well, translates here as putting it back.
Oh, putting it back, not remove them. Kishiyotin says, when you take them out, that's what Rashi says.
When the nails come out, I guess it falls down the door.
When it falls out, you put it back in. I see. Yeah. Kishiyotin, not when you're taking them out, when they fall out. Okay, so then you put them back in. You have to have the wooden pegs. That can be done in Chol Moed without any shinoi. Who is that opinion? That is Kiman Kaviosi, like we just saw above, that he permits even without a shinoi. Now the Mishnah told us, the Gemara quotes, Kvashim. If you are able to, you're allowed to pickle something if you'll be able to eat it at some later point during Chol Hamoed.
That's how you call it, pickle?
Yeah. Pickle is not, it's really a cucumber that gets pickled.
Right.
You pickle is the vinegar and the spices and the seasoning, and that's pickled.
If you're doing, what about the other vegetables?
Yeah,
pickled tomato, pickled peppers.
Say what it is.
Pickled. That's how it is, pickled.
Pickled.
If you say, give me a pickle, that means a cucumber.
Right.
If you want pickled something peppers. Else, you got to say what
right.
it
is. Right. Pickled peppers.
Right.
Pickled olives. You probably like olives.
Yeah.
Israeli. Who doesn't? A lot of non-Israelis don't like olives.
Yeah.
I happen to know.
A lot of people don't like olives. Yeah. I love olives. I like one kind of olive.
One kind. Yeah, most
of the OU.
Oh, the same in Israel. You use olives.
But
done.
The one olive I like.
No gold. No diamonds, but you have a lot of olives.
Okay. Gemara says, now, Bedisa. Okay, this is some of these words are a little hard, for me at least. Let's move to the article. So, where am I? I'm going now. Bedisa Leve Kavre. Bedisa was a river. That's why it's hard. I don't know the different locations. Bedisa was a river at the Levi Kavre. There were fish in this river. Kavre means fish. Ozu Kliama Sud Aiti Kavre. Everyone went out to catch and bring all the fish. Sharlu Rava Lemimcha Minayo. So they caught the fish on Chol Hamoed. Fishing is permitted on Chol Hamoed to eat. So when they brought a lot of fish, though, they had a huge net. So what are you allowed to do with the fish? So Rava permitted them to salt the fish. So Amarle Abai says to Rava, "V'hatanan, doesn't the Mishnah tell us our very Mishnah, Kigvashin shehu yachal lechol mehen b'moy kosher, and only if you're allowed to eat them?" Now they brought pound of fish back. There's no way they're eating all this fish on Chol Hamoed. So how do you permit them to salt? Salt is a form of pickling. It's seasoning them. So how are you allowed to pickle these things if they're not going to eat it? They're just preserving it until after Chol Hamoed. This would be usur. What? Ah, that Gemara's going to answer. Exactly. Amar le came into me, kara adaita de achli aitinu. They caught them in order to eat them. Now they happened to catch a lot, but they had a huge net which caught a lot of fish. They planned on eating it. The purpose was to eat them. Vishavak le pasti. Now that they have them and they own them, they're in their possession, it's going to be a big loss to them. It's no different than kifrakmatia dehavid damishavak. A person has an inventory, he has some type of merchandise. If he doesn't get rid of them, he's going to lose them. So sotirosa, if he doesn't preserve them, they're going to spoil and go bad, and he'll lose out on that. Ikadamri, the another version goes, that shari lahu rava meitzad meizal aikinu mamilach. He ruled that permissible for them to go out and catch them initially, and also to salt them. Initially, the case was they first caught them, and then they asked them what to do. Here he said, no, go out and catch them. You could catch a lot of them, and then you could salt them. So Amar Le Abai challenges again. Again, it's the same story before, just a slightly different version. So Abai says, you're only allowed to salt them and season them and preserve them if it's going to be eaten on Chol Hamoed. But to preserve them for after Chol Hamoed, after Yontif, that's Azur. So Amarle, Rava says back, Hani Nami Misachli Agav Itzitza. No, actually, these they are going to eat them through pressing them. If a person squeezes out the salt, then it's going to be permitted. Ki Hav the Shmuel, that Shmuel used to do, Avdi Le Shitin Itzitzeid V'achl. He used to press these fish that were salted very heavily, press them a lot to squeeze out all the salt from them, and he would eat them. So it is considered still edible. Just because you're putting a lot of salt on it doesn't mean it's not edible until afterwards that you're necessarily preserving them. It's possible that you're seizing them and it could still be eaten on Chol Hamoed. Now, Rava Ikle the Beresh Chalusa. Rava once visited the house of the Beresh Chalusa. Avdile Shitin Itzitzev Achil. They squeezed for him 60 times the salted fish in order for him to eat them. Similar to what happened to Shmuel. Now, Rav Ikle the Be Rav Shapir. Rav once visited the house of Rav Shapir. And Aiti Lekamayu Hahu Kavra. They brought him a particular fish. Tilta bishula, tilta bilchav, tilta tavia. A third of it was boiled, a third of it was salted, and a third of it was grilled. Okay, that was the Maisa Shaya. Okay, I'm not sure the significance of that story. Then Amar Rav, Rav says, Amar li Ada Atzaidi. There's a person, Ada the fisherman, a well-known fisherman named Ada. Now, Kavra samach le misuchayu male. He said fish is best when it's close to its spoiling. So pretty interesting. You want to wait till it has a 7-day life period. You wait till day 6 and you eat it then. That's the best time. It's good for you.
Talking about herring.
Herring, yeah. So, I assume it's good. It's good. It's a good health-wise, I guess. Okay, I don't know. So that was his advice. That was Ad to the fisherman. That was he advised. Rav said another statement he heard in the name of Amrli Ad the Tzaddi gave me the following advice. That Kavra Tavayu Bachua. So this is an interesting statement. It's somewhat a lot of symbolism here. That fish that's broiled in its brother, literally Bachua. So we need to look at Rashi what Bachua means. So just keep our finger in Rashi here. Rashi, four lines from the bottom, says Tavi Bachua. We're going to need Rashi for each of these lines now. Tavi Bachua, that was grilled in its brother. B'melach, why is melach called a brother in salt? Shemelach nivra min hamayim kidagim. Just like fish are created in water, salt also comes from the water. So the brothers, fish and salt, are considered brothers. If you grill them together, that's a good thing. Grill them together. Then the Gemara says, Asuka bavua, then cook it in avua, in the tzvada. Rashi is asuka bavua. La'achash tzala, after you grill it, nosu b'mayim tzonin. Place it back in cold water. It's called the father because that's where it came from. That the water fathered the fish, if you will. And then michle bibria bray, eat it with its son. What's its son mean? Rashi says matilin also betzir hayotim nadagim, with the oils, the fish oil, the fish juices, the brine that comes out of the fish. Ochnoso, that's the son that's produced from the fish. Eat it with it. And then the Gemara says ashti aleavu, and then drink it with its father. Which Rashi says again is Shoshosin Alam Maim Shadagum Nivrum in Maim, then you drink it with the water, which again is the father of the fish. Very interesting way of referring to it. I guess when you're a fisherman, you view everything like a whole, different perspective. Your father, mother, sister, brother, you have a different appreciation. So before we finish the last few lines of this parak, there's a very interesting Tosos on the top here. Tosos writes, Kavra Samech L'mishchamali. The fish, towards the end of its lifetime, not its lifetime, the end of its edible lifetime, that is. You want it to be, of course, dead when you eat the fish. So the lach is that the Adda gave the advice that one should really eat it right before it goes bad. That's the best time. So the Gemara in Tosas writes, Ubizman has that nowadays, Tofsin Sakana. We assume that this is actually a Sakana to eat it when it's towards the end of its, before it really goes bad. The Mechal, Samach Lesirchan, right. It's dangerous to eat it, to have spoiled fish. V'gam Mishtei Ala Avua. We also find, apparently, that to drink the mishteh ala avua was referring to drinking the water, the father. Remember, the father of the fish was the water. To drink water right after the fish, apparently, was also dangerous in those times. The Gemara tells us it's actually good, but we know, says Tosos, from our doctors, that it's actually usur. It's dangerous. So Tosos explains what happened. Shema nishtanu, maybe things change. Kimo harfu shebashas, she'ino tovus bizman hazeh. This is a very, very important Tosos. Very important Tosos. The Gemara is in, all of them hold like that. There's no one who doesn't hold like this, I think. The Chassam Sofer, I think, writes that somebody who does try to follow the refus in the Gemara, they think he says Dama Barosho. He's basically committing suicide by following the medicine that's prescribed in the Gemara. The Gemara is in Gittin in the Perek. Has a whole several blot of all these different refus. It comes up. Tosa says it's different. Things have changed, just like the refuels of the shas changed, so too perhaps the dangers have changed as well. That's what he says. Very, very important. Tosa says, or he suggests maybe Shema Naros de Bavel Malu Lotfe. Maybe the waters of Bavel are better, meaning they were in Bavel. So maybe the times of the Ada in Bavel, the waters were very, very good. But where we lived in Europe, the water is very bad. I remember in those times the water was very dangerous to drink the water. They had to boil it and sterilize it and all the bacteria. It wasn't like what we have nowadays. So going back now, Bizman Hazeh, where we do have good water to drink, pure water, maybe it would go back, it would be beneficial to have water after having fish. Now the last few lines of Gemara, three lines from the bottom. Amar Rav. Rav said, Amar the Adda, he was very close with the fishermen, I guess. Adda told Rav once, Tzayda Kavra Tachla. So a person should... let's go back to the article here. Person should fish, cress, and milk. What's cress?
Watercress,
okay.
It's green.
It's green, okay. So the rash is shchalim. I'm not sure shchalim. What's shchalim or shachlaim? Do you know what that is, David? Okay. So water... look at Rashi. See Rashi Tachli, the last line, or second to last line? You're right where your finger is. That line there, Tachli, Shachlim, or Shachlaim? See that word?
Tachli,
No, that's okay. So, whatever cress or shaklam or takla is, he says eating fish, cress, and milk. Let's see, Google.
It will never find it.
Cress?
They didn't put the Gemara inside the wheel yet.
Oh, but maybe the cress.
But the Hebrew also repeats shchalim, so it's Hebrew.
Right.
Otherwise, they wouldn't put it.
Shchalim v'chalav. Achila dagim shchalim.
Okay, and then Kremay look up cress, and it'll tell us what cress means. Okay, so whatever cress is, so eating fish, cress, and milk, liton gufo, it burdens the body, it's very bad for the body. V'lo liton puria, but it's not bad for the bed. So what does that mean exactly? So Rashi explained, liton gufo, klomar lacha ichilasa, after eating it, mahalech harbe kol mishiyash, walk up before you go to sleep. But lo liton puri Rashi says lo liyashon alta acharem, don't fall, go to sleep right afterwards. I think this is true nowadays by any food. A person shouldn't eat and go to sleep right afterwards. It's food's going to just sit there and just turn to fat. Okay, perhaps I wouldn't know, but I'll take your word on that. So not good to go to sleep on a full stomach. So this Gemara says only these particular foods: cress, milk, and fish. Then Amar Rav, Rav gave one last piece of advice to Rava. Amar Rav, Amar li Ada Tzayda, the fisherman Ada told me, Kavra tachlin v'chalva, fish, cress, and milk again. Mayav lo shechur, it's better to have water than beer afterwards, even though we said above water wasn't good after. But water, if you had an option, water versus beer, water is better. And shechur lo chamra, beer is better than wine. So have wine, water if no water, have beer if no beer, have wine. That's the hierarchy of what's good for the fish. And hajr lach mashkin beis hashlach. Conclude the first parak of Moikatan. Now we are on to the second parak of Moikatan. Misha tells us.
It's interesting that they prefer shukra or chamra, right? Nowadays it's much healthier wine than
right.
But
those days beer was a staple. That
also
was
they did beer from a different. They didn't do beer
from dates. They used right.
Beer from dates.
Exactly.
They did beer from
right. From barley.
From
and hops. Right. Okay, so the new Mishnah tells us as follows: Misha Hafech Zesav, somebody who is pressing his olives on the olive press, V'iro Avel, and in the process he finds out a relative dies, he becomes an Avel, or Ones, or some type of something against happened that he couldn't control, that he wasn't able to do it. Rashi said Rashi didn't really explain what it was, but something happened he wasn't able to finish off. This is talking about Erev Yantiv right now, so he starts pressing these things. And then, actually, I shouldn't say chalmo, we're not talking about avel, just in general. Person is pressing it during the week, and he finds out an avelus, or he finds some type of onus happens. Oshe hitu palim, that, or the workers had tricked him, and they said they'll, rent it for this price, and then they ended up changing the price. Something along those lines. Toen kor rishona, so he's allowed to push the first press and squeeze it out. Umanich lachar moed, divir abudu, but leave it over for the rest afterwards. So again, it's very confusing, by the way, whether this Mishnah is talking about Chalamoid or Avel. It's a very confusing Mishnah. Let's assume it's talking about Chalamoid, since Rashi is assuming it's Chalamoid. So the first case is either person's an Avel when this happens, or the other two cases is before Yontif he was doing it and something happened, he had to go run out. And he remembered that he had the olive press in the process, and Chalamoid came. The workers ran off right before Yontif. He wasn't able to finish it off. So all these situations, even though he's an Avel, and even though it's Chalamoid, he could finish the first press. Because the dover of it, if it just sits there, those olives are going to be wasted. The first press is going to get you the most olive oil. So you could finish it off during Chol Moed or during the Avelis, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer Zolif Vigomer Vigaf Kedarko. So you could do the entire process from beginning to end, and not only could you do the first press, but you could do everything. I think they used to do three I think they pressed three times. That's how much you get out of an olive, typically. So they press, I think, three different times. You could do the whole process needed to... what it literally means is you could pour the olive into the press and finish pressing the rest of the oil and seal it in a vat and close it up and done. As opposed to the Rabbi Huda permitted only you to finish the first press and nothing more. So that's the machlokas in the Mishnah. The Gemara tells us, Pasach ba'avil v'sayim b'moed. Very strange. The Mishnah begins talking about a person who was doing the pressing, then suddenly avelus happened to him. Then the Mishnah changes gears and says, oh, and he could leave it over until after Chol Moed. What are we talking about? A person who's an Avel? We're talking about a person who's in Chol Moed. So, Amar Rav Shishi, Bered, Rav Idi, Zosemer. The Mishnah is coming to tell us the following halacha. Dvar hamutarim b'moed, asurim b'mei evil. Anything that's mutter during Chol Moed is going to be usur during Avelis. So you look at Rashi, what does that mean? Look at Rashi where it says, Os Aser B'mei Avelo, a few lines down from the Gemara, where the Gemara Rashi starts. Aser B'mei Avelo, Kolomar, L'hachilo Parish Aser L'Liton, Afilu Kor Rishon B'mei Avelo. That's why I didn't explain that it's Aser to press the first one. L'hachilo Parish, why? De Aser Lo L'Liton Afilu Kor Rishon B'mei Avelo. So the way you read the Mishnah is as follows. If a person is pressing his olive oil, his olives, and he becomes an Avel, it's Aser from doing anything more. Once he's an Avel, it's Aser. But in contrast to that, if it happens in Chol Moed, he's allowed to do it in Chol Moed. Davar Avet's mut in Chol Moed, but it's Aser during Avel. So that's how you read the Mishnah. Then the Gemara says, according to Rav Ashi comes along and tells us, Amar Lomi Vai Kamar.
Avel in Chol Moed?
No, two different things. Avel is Aser, Kama. But if it happens in Chol Moed, or right before Chol Moed, on Chol Moed, he can do it. For Davar Avet.
Without any connection to Avelut.
Right, exactly. They're in contrast. We're distinguishing between the two. Right. Avel's Aser, Chol Moed's Mutter. For Davar Avet. Rav Ashi explains differently. Rav Ashi says, Amar, Lomi Bai Kamar. So Lomi Bai, it's a needless to say type of action. What does that mean, needless to say? Lomi Bai, Bimei Avel Dimidbaran, Huvi Shari. No, even by Avelus is Mutter. If it's Davar Avet, it's Mutter. Needless to say that by an Avelus, where the Isser of Malacha as an Avel is only an Isser Midbaran. The Gemara later on, the third parak of Ma'ikatan talks about Avelus. It's going to bring a pasuk that Avelus, an Avelus Aser Malacha, that the Rishonim explain is only in a Smach Dabama. So the Isser to do Malacha as a Avel is only an Isser Midirabanan. And it, therefore it's Mutter, it's certainly Mutter. But Ela Afilu Bimoid the Isser Malacha Midiraisa, but even when it comes to Chol Moed, where the Isser is the Isser Deraisa, and one would think it's Aser and Chol Moed, but Malcolm say the Shara Rabbanan. In a situation of loss, in the case of the olive oil being lost, it would be permitted. See, this Gemara is one of the proofs that they bring that you see. We had Machlokas, I wasn't here the first day, I think Adam did the first day, but perhaps he discussed whether Chol Moed, the Malacha and Chol Moed, is Aser Midirabanan or Aser Midiraisa. It's a big Machlokas Rishonim. The Gemara in Chagiga Daf Yud Ches talks about it. Tosas there says it's only Aser Midirabanan. He quotes this Gemara here, says this Gemara really means it's only a Lav Dafka. It doesn't really mean Isser Midiraisa, it's Lav Dafka. It's Isser Midirabanan only. Look at Rashi. Rashi writes, El Afilu, Cholo Shemoid de Asira Be Melacha Midiraisa. He says, no, this Gemara is meant to be taken seriously. And there's a Pasuk, Dichsiv, Eschag HaMatzos Tishmor Shivas Yomim. That the entire Pesach, which is 7 days long, you have to be Shomer for in the entire 7 days. Limi to teach us, says Rashi, Al Kol Achag Shehu Asr. The entire Sukkot, the entire Pesach, is Asr, even Chol Moed is Asr to do work. Now, which work is Asr, that's a whole other story. But the fact that any work that's Asr is Asr Midiraisa. And that's what the Gemara, the simple reading of the Gemara tells us here.
So according to an Avel, he's allowed to do it.
According to Rashi, Avel is allowed to, exactly. That's the Machlokas. Avel may do the work. According to the first opinion, an Avel may not do the work. Okay, Gemara continues now, and we're running out of time. Tani Kavasi de Rav Shishi Brei de Rav Idi. There's a brice in the name of Rav Shishi, the name of son of Rav Idi. Elu Dvarim Hosen La'avel B'mei Avel. The following things may be done on behalf of an Avel during his period of mourning. So what are these things? So Gemara says, Zeisiv Hafuchim Ta'anin Lo. If he started pressing the olives but didn't get to finish it, a person may do it for him and press the beam on top of them. V'chadulokof. He could also seal off the barrels. If he left the flax used to be soaking in water, and you have to pick up the flax from the water. If it was left in the water, he's able to pick it up. Or they had the wool was in a vat, he's able to bring the, and he became an avel, someone could remove it from the vat for him. Or marbitzin sadeosh mshadigia onus hamayim shalom, where he could water the field when it came the time for watering. All these things an avel himself cannot do, but others may do it on his behalf.
Somebody cannot do for an
Avel? The Gemara is going to talk about other situations where he cannot do. It's a big problem if an Avel is a partner. An Avel has to close up shop when he becomes an Avel. He can't work at all. He can't go to work. What if he's a partner and the partner's making money for him? So he really shouldn't be making any money. So if it's a firm partner, what we advise is that you should tell your partner that you're giving over your business to him for the week, and any profit is going to be his for the week, and this way you don't do it. Right.
That's what happened to me as the Rav.
Yeah.
He said it's fine if somebody's running it.
Someone's doing it on your behalf.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know it's an issue. Someone told me who's in the Chevra Kedisha, and one of the first questions they say, it's a strange question, is do you have a business, do you have a partner, do you have to be, you know, do you have to hand over the partnership? What's, you know, all the different situations? I don't know all the different types of businesses and whatnot, but it seems like there seems to be a machlokas here by Davar Avid, whether or not that would be permitted. What comes down to the halacha, I'm not exactly sure. But I do know that's one of the questions they do ask. You know, if you have a partner running it for you, so then, you know, you're not going to lose the whole business. He'll be running the business. So you're not going to lose the clients. You just won't make the money for the week. Depending on the person's situation, that might be a big deal or not a big deal. But a person is the sole ownership, and if you close the shop for a week, there might be a tremendous loss of business and lose your clients. So then that might be a different story. There's more of a heter involved. Okay. The Gemara says, further, continuing the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Zorin Lo Sadanir, you could also plant on a plowed field, a field that had been plowed, all ready to lay down the seeds, that's permitted. V'sada ha'omedes l'fishan, or if a person has a field that was special for flax, so he could if the flax isn't planted right away, it's going to be a big loss of for the field. So certain like times of the year is when most opportune times to plant different. I know, like, let's say, for example, like, what are they called? Certain types of flowers, that the first, like, flowers that grow the season have to be planted, like, first thing. And if you miss, like, the first week of the spring, you lose out that. You have to go through the flax, like, you have 1 week to plant it, otherwise you lose the opportunity. So, Amrullah, the Chacham say back to Rehuda, Imlo Tizrak Bibachia, Tizrak Bafel. What do you mean? Okay, you miss a week. You're in Avil, Shiva for one's parent. If you miss this week, you'll plant next week. You'll do it. It'll be a later season. Imlo Tizra Pishon, Tizra Mimunache. Okay, you can't plant flax this season, so you'll plant something else in the ground. You'll plant, I don't know, cotton the next week. So Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So therefore, he did not find the heter to seed these fields. That Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. Let's say he had turned over, he started pressing the olives, he found out he became an avel, and there's no professional worker other than him. If he has someone else do it, he's going to mess up the whole job. He's the only one, he's the sole ownership, let's say. He's the CEO and the only one running the business. Kado Luguf, or let's say he has to seal up the barrel, didn't get a chance, and it's going to go bad, and it's not going to be protected. Ein Sham Uman Elohu, but he's the only one who knows how to properly seal the barrel. Or it's a case of Pishtan Lahalas Mehamishra, he has to remove the flax from the water, Vitsamro Lahalas Mehayora, or to remove the vat from the wool from the vat of dyeing, Vein Sham Uman Elohu, and he's the only skilled professional who's able to do this. So Hareza Yasa Bitsina, he's allowed to do these cases. Bitsina, he could go to work in a privacy, he could go up to his office in his house during the Shiva and take care of business. Yes, Alkin, moreover, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Im Haya Uman Larabim, if let's say he was a professional for the public. They needed him. He was the one selling shirts. He was the one fixing all the water. He was the one giving haircuts, such as Sapar Balan Rabim. He was a barber. He attended the bathhouse, warming up the water, or these types of things. So he gave Eish Haregel, Vein Sham Uman Elohu. Let's say the Yom Tov came around and people needed to take a bath. People needed to get a haircut. Harezi Asa, he's allowed to do this even for Hesia, since it's Letzarech Rabim.
That's the week of Avelu.
Right, exactly.
When we're talking Avelu, we're talking about the week.
Exactly, during Shiva, right.
Shiva.
After Shiva, you could go back to work.
Ha'arisim
v'hachakirim v'hakablanim. So we're not going into the details, there's not much time, but what these are sharecroppers, tenant farmers, and salaried field workers, or otherwise known as contractors. Ha'arei elu yasu achem b'shvilam. So people, you could do work on their behalf. If an avil is any of these types of things, they can't go to the field, they can't do their contracting work, but they can have others perform it on their behalf. Ha'chamarim ha'gamalim v'hasafpanim. If they, let's say, they lease out their donkeys or their camels or their boats, yasu, they may not perform them during the period of mourning. They cannot, though it's explained here, they cannot initiate the rental. They can't start, you know, I'm hiring out there, renting out their boats. But if they already were hired out before the Shiva happened, someone already was renting their boat, then elu yasu, they can continue to use it during the period of mourning. Even though the owner of the yacht is avel, the yacht was already rented out, you could continue to use it. However, if one was a schir yom, he was hired just for the day, so in the middle of the day it becomes an avil, afil bi'ir acheres lo yase, even though it's being used in another field, another city, apparently you cannot continue to perform that work of the avil. What's the difference by schir yom? Rashi explains.
Are you talking about the person who is contracting or the one who is being contracted?
the one who contracted it out, rented it out, the owner became an avel. The one using it, normally we say he's allowed to continue using it. Since he rented from before the avelus, so he's allowed the rent to continue. Chiyom is different. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi explains, this is around 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the bottom. The middle of the line, lo yase. Rashi writes, lo yase, why? Hol biyodo dachser. He's allowed to retract, go back on a one-day work. Could that mean the Gemara, Bapakama, I think also Bapatsia. Poel choser, vafilu b'chatzi yom, v'lekab tzeda kulihai. The worker is allowed to go back on his deal. If it's a one-day job, he could say, you know what, I don't want to do this day. In the middle of the work, you could just end it, if it's a one-day deal.
Okay, so now it's not talking about the value. It's talking about the person who's being hired.
Oh, we just changed, now we change it, yeah?
Isn't that what it's talking about? That's what I'm confused. Like, the first one is the person who rents and hires. Uh-huh. And here it's talking about the Shechir Yom himself, the one.
You're right.
Change his mind,
okay, you're right. So you're right. Now we're talking about if the of himself was hired out to lead the donkeys or to be the sailor or run the boat. So then if it's a long period of time, he could continue to do it since he was rented out from beforehand. But if he's rented out only for a day, that's what you're saying,
I think that the case of the donkey is the person who actually rents out the donkey. But I think that the Shechir Yom, it seems that it turns to the person who is being contracted.
I think you're right also. Somehow we change, shift gear.
Both ways.
Yeah?
For both. Yeah, what's the difference?
Uh-huh.
The and the Maskir. Both become available. So the both, you know, Chatzio, they can go back. It's not such a big effort.
Uh-huh.
So that's why it doesn't specify.
But not much. The only problem is in the second case, the Rashi is only a poel. Only the Socher can retract. Is it masculine? If I hire you for a day, can I say, you know what, I don't need you anymore, David. Is that permitted? Sounds like it's not permitted. Only the poel, you as my worker, only you could retract. So maybe before this, maybe both situations, both the masculine and the socher, you could continue to work if it's a long period of rental. But in the case of Shechir Yom, the poel, if the poel is an avil, then he's allowed to retract. He has to retract. He cannot finish the day's work because in general, we find that a poel can retract. And certainly here, we force him to retract midday. The Gemara says, "Hayisam melachas achem biado." Let's say he's working on someone else's. He's been contracted out to do somebody's work. So afa pisha bikubelas, even though it's contracted work, lo yase. So Gemara, what do you mean? It's strange. Gemara says, afa pisha bikubelas. What do you mean? If he's contracted out, so he could do whatever he wants. Contracted work means get the job done, whatever you can. You hire a contractor for your house. So there's no, like, get done by the week. And you want it done in, like, a few months, a few weeks, but it never happens, whatever you want. He gets it done, and he gets paid for the job, not for the time. So if you get paid for the job, not for the time...
Per piece.
What?
Per piece.
Per piece, exactly. So per diem or per... per diem, I guess, might be more time, but per... Not per diem, I guess. It'd be for the job, but not for the time. You don't get paid hourly. Contractors don't get paid hourly. They get paid for finishing the job. So this person, the Gemara, says, even though he's a contractor, he still doesn't work. What do you mean? If he is a contractor, certainly he shouldn't do it. He should just say, let me wait for the week. I'll get the job done the following week. What's the afal pi the Gemara says here? So, lo yibayi she'inu mekubelas. Forget if he's not a contractor. Adraba kubelas kidei dami. What do you mean? If he is a contractor, it's his own work he's doing. He's doing it when he gets the job done. That's when he gets paid. He's working on his own time, basically. So, of course, if he's a contractor, he should wait till Shiva's over to not do the work. What's the Gemara saying? So Gemara says, no, ela ema, read as follows. Bain kubelas, bain shena kubelas, lo yaser. Whether he's a contractor, whether he's not a contractor, whether he's working for the job, which he could delay, whether he's working per time, he gets paid hourly. So either way, a person shouldn't do such work. Then the Gemara says, Hayisam lachta b'acherim, if his work is in other person's hand, he has, a suit that's being fixed, or a car being at the mechanic. So the halacha is b'beiso lo yaser. The tailor can't come over to his house to work. The mechanic can't come to his house to work. But if it's at the mechanic in his shop, then that would be permitted. Merion brei d'raven, umar brei d'rav acha, brei d'rava, these two amaroim, havalu hahu gamla, the tura b'chadi hadade, they had a partnership of an...
Sorry, they're talking about Jews or going?
Jews. It shouldn't make a difference at all, I don't think.
Why would they be allowed? Are you talking about Avedos? Okay.
Right. Exactly, all right. So now these two individuals, Marun Breid Ravin and Mar Breid Rav Acha Breid Rava Havalu Haum Gamma. They had a Gamma de Torah, a yoke from the ox. Behadi Hadad, they shared it. Yisraibu Milsa Bimar Breid Rav Acha Breid Rava. He had become an Avel. And Paski Lagamle, so he removed his ox from the yoke. So now you need two oxen usually to have the yoke run. He now the guy had one. And the you know the way it looks, it, you know, you can't have one. You need two. So Amar Vashi. So Gavirabba Kamar Breid Rav Acha Avid Hachi. So how could such a great person like him do this? Okay, he wasn't concerned what he'll lose. He'll lose money for the week. He won't get any parnasa for the week. Fine, that's for him. He's able to do that. But Adechein Lochaish, he's not concerned with the money of others. His partner now is also out for the week. That's not fair to him. So Vaha Tanya, doesn't the Brisa tell us in Mayu Muskarin Om Chacham as Esachem Hare Ilyasu? If you have it rented out to somebody else, they're allowed to do the work. So give the axe to your partner, like we said. I mentioned the case before. Give your partnership, give your business over to your partner, let him do the work, and he'll continue to do the work, and that's fine. So why'd he do this? Why'd he hurt his partner so badly? Husavar Adam Chashiv Shani. He felt when it came to Adam Chashiv, like Mar himself, it's different. It comes to me, he has to be more machmir, and he did not permit his animal to do work. Even though his animal caused a loss to somebody else, his animal shouldn't be doing any work because he was in a state of avelus. So it might depend on a person's Adam Chashiv, whether or not he should sell off his part of the business, or he should just shut down the business during the week of Avelis. Okay, so quick review. We've been doing quick reviews now. The Misha, the Gemara told us in the beginning of the Daf, Amud Aleph, they finished talking about the different ways to catch birds versus catching fish, and it really all comes down to, boils down to, whether or not it's a skilled type of net or a not skilled type of net. Currently, a fish net is not skilled, that's permitted, and a bird net is skilled, that would be usher. We had a discussion of building a tanner. Okay, there's a difference was when you're building a tanner. If you're building a tanner during Pesach, it's going to be ready right away. You could build it. But to build a tanner during Sukkot would be usher because it won't be ready right away. And the Mishnah told us that building a fence would be okay when it's a Maisa Hedyo, when it's a unskilled type of... No.
Excuse me. I want to listen.
Okay.
This is my Weinberger's office.
I know. I want to listen to the shiir.
Okay.
We're done.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Okay.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. So the building a fence on the Mishnah, told us that you could build an unskilled fence, but you can't build a professional fence. We spoke about sealing up the cracks in an oven. And then the Gemara went on to describe a number of situations of when you're allowed to fix a door on Chol Moed, when you cannot. So we made a distinction between a loud noise, a soft noise, a big instrument, a small instrument, before the Gzeir, after the Gzeir, Machlokas Tanaim. And then we had a whole series of advice we learned from Adda the fisherman, when to have water afterwards, wine afterwards, a whole list of different types of advice, which Tosaf pointed out, a lot of which don't apply anymore because we have a different time as Sakana had been developed. Then Amud Beis, we spoke about in the Mishnah that someone was in the middle of doing pressing the olives and something happened, the Velus Chol Moed, his workers tricked him. So whether or not, when it comes to the Davar Avid, you could finish off the work during Chol Moed. We had a Machlokas, does that apply to an Avil also? Does an Avil have the Het of Davar Avid, or an Avil does not have it? And we had an interesting line in the Gemara here that told us that Avelus, Melach of Avelus, is only Melach of Midrabanam, but Melach of Chol Moed is Asim Midraisa. Rashi took that to mean seriously. And then we had a whole list of types of work, whether it can be done by an Avelis on behalf of the Avelis, if he rented out from the Avelis, if he led the Avelis, all the different things regarding the Melacha of an Avel. Okay, everyone should have a good Shabbos.